Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stoops as he continues the journey through Luke's orderly account of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Church of the King strives for biblical worship, which views the Lord's Day as the time when God meets His people to renew His covenant with them. Covenant renewal is characterized by God's calling us to worship, a time for the confession of our sins, the hearing of God's forgiveness based on the finished work of Christ on the cross, the new life in His resurrection, presenting our offerings, approaching the throne of grace in prayer, and His teaching us from the Word of God. Now, here's Pastor Stoops.
Well, I've entitled this morning's sermon, Gabriel Visiting Two Saints. And I've often been fascinated by the story of these visits from this particular angel and some of the comparisons and some of the contrasts. So I'm going to try to share some of it with you this morning, because I believe right in the midst of this Christmas story that we are so familiar with is a very important lesson for us in obedience. But let's step back this morning in this Christmas season and see if we can learn something that is really relevant to us. And I think it's there in the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel visited, and I put this right in the title, two saints. This is not a story of believers and unbelievers. There are times where we contrast how the Lord approaches those that believe and those that don't. This morning's story is how the Lord deals with two believers. It couldn't be clearer in the scriptures with Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. It says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Now that doesn't mean that they were legalists. That doesn't mean that they were Pharisees. It means that they were faithful Christians in the Old Testament. That they approached God just as we do, recognizing as they looked forward to the sacrifice of Christ that God was going to lay on Him. That those animal sacrifices, they didn't fully understand it, but those animal sacrifices were symbolizing something, some means by which God was going to take away their sin. So they did just as we do. They attempted to follow the law of God. They loved the Lord, and they trusted the Lord for their salvation. And the Lord could look at them as He does us as righteous in Christ, and could address them as being blameless. We see that often with David, with Abraham. Now, if you look at their lives, they certainly weren't blameless in their day-to-day obedience. But they are looked at through Christ, which makes them blameless. And of course, Mary, do not be afraid, says the angel. Mary, for you have found favor with God. God has a plan. God has a purpose for both. And I think that's part of what we need to realize as we learn our lesson from it. There's some real similarities in both Zacharias and Mary and how it can apply to us. So I've pointed out they were both presented as righteous people. This is a story of believers. These are angelic visits to believers. They were both visited by the angel Gabriel. They were both going to be used by God for His purposes and His glory. God had a purpose for sending Gabriel. There were things that needed to happen in both of their lives for His kingdom to advance, and He was going to see to that. And we're going to see that that happens despite their various reactions, which should be a very encouraging thing to us. As we dig into the story, though, I want us to realize you should see immediately the similarity. Here we are gathered as a young congregation, Church of the King, here in Sacramento. God looks at us through Jesus Christ as being righteous. We are blameless before the judgment seat of God. We don't have the angel Gabriel dropping in this morning, but you each brought your family Bible, and we have a Bible up front to remind us that God has spoken to us through His Son. The New Testament tells us over and over again that that's more exciting than what we saw in the Old Testament or in the time of angelic visits. God speaks to us and instructs us during the worship service and throughout the week in our personal devotions and our family devotions through His Word. So God speaks to us. And as we've learned from the book of James, quoting the book of Ephesians, God has plans and purposes for us as a congregation, for us as families, for us as individuals. We are for His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Paul writes, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Think about those parallels. There's a real lesson for us. Now, we're not going to have angels visiting Church of the King. Not planning on it. Not encouraging it. Probably would wonder if anybody came with reports of it. That's not how God works today. He's going to instruct us from His Word. And it's that Word that gives us these kind of lessons. And as we approach a question of obedience this morning between Zacharias and Mary, it strikes me again that we have to remember the verses that we come back to an awful lot, it seems, but we love children in this church. Jesus loved children. The disciples hadn't figured it out. The Pharisees certainly didn't get it. And people were often concerned about what He did. But it's one of those times that we need to remember it as we look at this example this morning, that childlike faith. Remember those words in Matthew chapter 19. Then little children were brought to Jesus that He might put His hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And He laid His hands on them, and they departed. So the disciples, now, don't let the kids get in the way. Jesus has important work to do here. Jesus says, no, let the little children come. And as we've often read in other sections, usually points to them and says, if you want to understand faith, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, you better look at these little children. Now, we've seen the similarities between Zacharias and Mary. Now, we need to consider some contrasts in the story. We're going to see how each of them reacted to the news that was brought by the angel Gabriel. And as we do that, I want you to be asking honestly the question, who would we expect to be a person of faith? Okay? Zacharias, an older, mature man, married, faithful service, blameless before the Lord. So far, pretty good. Mary, not a lot told about her life or where she was, but she was certainly a very young girl, just a young maiden. Had certainly some instruction, but she wouldn't have been in the temple. So right there, a little bit of a contrast. In the world that they were growing up in, the gender difference would make a big difference. One a man, one a woman. So you have the old, mature man, the young, probably not well-trained maiden. Zacharias is in the Lord's temple, in a special time that he has within the Lord's temple where he can present the incense offering, right there at the center where God meets with His people. Mary, she's just at home. The messages, you should have noticed, were a little bit different. With Zacharias, when you think about, you know, what's going to happen to him, he and his wife, for years, have prayed. You know, they see it as a curse, something really foreign to our modern ears, a curse to be barren. It's a blessing to have children. They had no children. So the news that his wife was going to bear a son was actually a presentation of news that, hey, this is going to make my life better. My wife is going to feel really good about this. Our friends are going to think this is really special. This is good. Now Mary is told of a miracle. She's told of something that she can't even begin to fathom. But if you look at it from her life standpoint, here she is, a young, single virgin, and she's going to be with child? How does she go tell her friends? We saw from Matthew that her own betrothed fiancé reacted badly to this. She's getting news that's going to turn her life upside down, and from the perspective of all her friends, look terrible. And even in, as they would have been familiar with the scriptures, Zacharias had examples that he could look back with. This isn't the first time that God had come to older people and blessed them. I mean, Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. Sarah was in her 90s. You had Hannah that prayed and was given in her old age the gift of her son Samuel. You know, these were things they would have been familiar with. This was not out of the ordinary, if you will. Where would you find an example in the Old Testament of a virgin birth? Or of birth to a single woman being a blessing? Wouldn't be there. So, if you look at it from a human standpoint, I think you see the point I'm driving home. It should have been Zacharias that figured this out, that should have been obedient and rejoicing in what God was doing, and we could understand if Mary was having a problem, because it was pretty astounding. And yet, we've read the story this morning. Who was it that exhibited that childlike faith that Christ commends? It was that young girl. And I want us to ponder, and this is good for parents as we think about instructing our children. You know, teaching children how to read the scriptures is not just putting the Bible in front of them after they've had their phonics classes and saying, read it. They have to be taught how. And that comes through their schooling, that comes through their family devotions, and it comes as we instruct them and follow through with how they handle the scriptures. And we have to do it ourselves. I don't think we often stop to think about what exactly does what I'm reading mean. And this is what really struck me the first time I looked at these two visits from Gabriel. The responses drew dramatically different reactions from the angel Gabriel. So it's pretty obvious that they didn't give the same answer. And yet when you look at their answers, at first glance, it's difficult to tell the difference. When Zacharias was presented with the proclamation from the angel, he said, "How shall I know this?" And proceeds to talk about the fact that he and his wife are old. How shall I know this? Mary, when she's given the proclamation, says, "How can this be? I don't know a man. I'm a virgin. How can I be with child?" So both of them ask a question and then immediately confront Gabriel with, you know, sort of a fact that seems to stand in the way of what he's saying. They sound pretty similar. But you see, it's not just the words on the written page. It's the context of where we find these. And this is where the instruction can be good for the children. You have to think about what it is that's being shared in the context of where it's being shared. Gabriel did not react very well to Zacharias' statement. He acted very well and pleased with Mary's. Why the stark difference? Well, for those of us that are older, it's obviously that you can say the same thing in different ways. Or virtually the same thing. A lot of it's the tone of the voice. And my voice isn't working very good this morning, but I'm going to try this anyway. Let's do Zacharias first. "How shall I know this?" is one way he could have said that to the angel. "How shall I know this?" is another way he could say it. Now those are kind of different, aren't they? If you're giving an instruction to a child, those of you that are parents, if the child says, honestly, "Well, Mommy, how do I do this?" and another child says, "Mom, how in the world am I supposed to do that?" On the written page, those two sound very similar. To the parent, one's going to get a correction, and the other one's going to get a simple word of instruction as to how to do the task they've been asked to do. And I think you can see the same thing is true with Mary. "How can this be? How can this be?" is one way she could have said it. Or she could have said, "How? How can this be, seeing that I know no man?" You see, the difference was the childlike faith that Mary had. Zacharias, in all of his maturity, in all of his instruction, in all that he thought he knew, actually thought that he could question the angel Gabriel and have a discussion with him, if you will. That's often the arrogance that we have. And Mary was just awestruck. And in that simple believing faith, said, "I don't have a clue how this is going to happen. I can't begin to understand how what you're sharing with me is going to happen." But she did it in a believing way. You see, Zacharias, if you go back and look at what the angel shared, from the standpoint, when you think about all the things that we went through, his maturity, his age, where he was in the temple, the story of the redemption of Israel, the guy really missed the point. Listen again to what the angel said. "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice in his birth." Now you see, I think Zacharias got hung up right there. "I don't get it. You're going to have to explain this to me." And just missed the important stuff that the angel was about to share. Because listen to what he says. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I would hope if the angel Gabriel showed up to make a pronouncement like that to the congregation here, we would be excited and not so much worried about how we're going to do it as, wow, look at what the Lord is going to do. And we get to be a part of that. But Zacharias missed that and decided that he wanted to argue with the angel Gabriel. And again, from the context we know, I can't tell you exactly what the inflection in his voice was, but I can tell you from Gabriel's reaction, it couldn't have been good. Because Gabriel reacts immediately to what Zacharias said. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, there's two important things to notice there. I think you get the point about Gabriel was a little upset. But Gabriel, the punishment fits the crime, if you will. Zacharias should have been focused on the exciting things that were going to happen and how he could be out there telling people about it. And instead, not going to be able to speak a word. Not going to be able. Now think about that. For 10 months, 12 months, I don't know, it doesn't say exactly when Elizabeth got pregnant. There was some time that he stayed in the temple. But for up to almost a year, Zacharias was struck dumb. And obviously, from the point that his wife got pregnant forward, he realized that what Gabriel had said was true and couldn't tell anybody about it. Angels have a sense of humor, I think. The other thing to notice is that our disobedience and our unbelief don't stand in the way of God's purposes. Because the angel says, though you didn't believe my words, they will be fulfilled in their own time. God has a plan. He's got a purpose. It's going to get done. And we can't thwart that. What we can thwart is our ability to enjoy it and be a larger part with blessings in our lives. Now, I think conversely, if you look at what was shared with Mary, she didn't miss the point. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I've got the Newsweek thing for the kids. They got to come up and see it, and your parents too. This is one of the pictures they use. You probably can't see it from there, but this little nice childlike angelic something is supposed to be Gabriel. I can't picture anybody being afraid of that. And yet both Zacharias and Mary had to be calmed down in the presence of the angel. It shows you that books for the people is probably no better today than it was back in the Roman Catholic days of abuse. So we'll talk about that a little bit more at lunch. But Mary had to be calmed down. Don't be afraid. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Now you see, Mary, if we did it from a human standpoint, should have been hung up on the first part. I'm going to be what? How am I going to handle that? Would have been a typical human reaction. But you see, as shocking as that was, she had to have focused on what he was saying, because her answer of faith was simply, boy, I don't know how that's going to work, but this sounds kind of exciting. Mary said, how can this be, since I know not a man? And the angel, now notice the difference here in the attitude of Gabriel. This is what tells us that there's a radical difference in the answer given. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. And the angel then goes on to explain that Elizabeth is pregnant and that she can go visit Elizabeth and see that with God, nothing is impossible. So it doesn't mean that we have to be as smart as the angel or as smart as God to be faithful. We simply have to be believing. And that if we ask an honest question, God will not only give us an explanation, but probably life's experiences to help us to understand and to be faithful. If we ask doubtful questions, we're asking for discipline. If we ask honest questions, we can expect from our loving Father honest answers. That's an important thing. As we read our scriptures, we're not expected to be seminary students to be able to benefit from our morning devotion times. But we do have to be honest and faithful and believing as we approach the scriptures. And if we are, there's nothing wrong with children coming to their parents to ask, what does this mean? And parents, there's sometimes nothing wrong with saying, I'm not sure. I'll have to ask. Or I've thought about that. Or that's a difficult one. Those things are okay. We're not expected to have the mind of God. Literally. We are expected to understand through the scriptures what the mind of God would have us to know. And there's a big difference in that. Now, the other lesson that I think we have to take note of, I'd rather us learn the lesson of obedience because we want to be blessed. But I mentioned before, God is going to accomplish His purposes either way. John the Baptist was born, Jesus was born, because the time had come, the prophecies had to be fulfilled, and God had chosen the people. Mary chose to be blessed through it. Zacharias chose to go through a little bit of discipline. But in the end, they both were singing God's praises. Zacharias had to go through that time of being mute. His wife was pregnant. She delivered the child. They took the child down for dedication. The family all was ready to, you know, making Zacharias Jr. or some other name out of the family. And Elizabeth, rightly, and you can tell that Zacharias had learned his lesson by this time, she says, no, the child's name's going to be John. And as I mentioned earlier, women weren't thought of very highly, so everybody said, well, that's nuts. Bring Dad in here. We got to check with him and see what's going on. So they hand Zacharias the notepad, and he writes, the name is John. And of course, at that point, his little discipline is over, and he's able to say the following near the end of Luke's first chapter. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And you, child, as He looked at the little baby John, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give us light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. My prayer this morning for our young congregation is that we can learn this lesson of obedience from the angelic visits of Gabriel, that we can believe the promises of God, and that we can go forward in whatever role God wants us to play, whatever our vocation may be, and speak boldly to the world as it listens. Let us pray.
Thank you for listening to Pastor John Stews of Church of the King. Join us next week at the same time as the journey through Luke's orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ continues. You're invited to join us for Sunday worship at 11 o'clock, where biblical worship is characterized by the active and vigorous participation of the entire congregation. Church of the King is a pro-life, pro-family church where all baptized children participate in worship, including the Lord's table, on a weekly basis. To learn more or to hear this message in its entirety, visit orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660.